Genesis 17 records for us a remarkable part of Abram's history. It says, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared unto Abram. It was 13 years ago that the Lord had come to Abram. And what was the reason? Abram had gone his own way. The Lord had made that promise of a son. And since that was not immediately fulfilled, Abram became impatient. Sarai was impatient. And so they both came up. And Hagar, Sarah's handmaid, became Abram's concubine. And she bore a son, Ishmael. And Hagar said, that is now the and Sarah said, that is now the fulfillment of the promise. And that is what Abram also delighted in. But the Lord did not go along with it. And so it was 13 years that Abram walked in darkness. That was a poor life. And then the wonder happened that when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared again unto him. And then he began to speak. He said, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. In other words, I am all sufficient. Whatever need you have, Abram, I can supply. Trying to help yourself only comes out in a disappointment. But what your calling is to walk before me and to walk perfectly. That means uprightly in the way of my commandments. And then, while Abram could not say anything for very shame, the Lord said, now I will renew that covenant that I have made with you earlier. And that covenant I will establish. Because what does it mean? I will multiply thee exceedingly, not with Ishmael, but with the son of my promise. And then thou shalt be a father of many nations. And he also promised unto Abraham that he would give them that land. That also was an old promise, but now renewed. And then it becomes new. And what was now the chief promise for Abraham? That in him all the nations would be blessed. For the son of promise that would come, Isaac, that would give joy to both Abraham and Sarah. Isaac would be the forerunner of the Messiah. In him that seed would be called. And then the Lord gave a further token of his favor. He said, ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. In other words, Abram, not only is that covenant going to continue, but I will give you a daily reminder, a sign of that covenant, that I will keep and maintain my covenant forever and forever. The Lord even called it an everlasting covenant. And congregation, that became a wonder unto Abraham. Because then the seed of Abraham would be blessed in that covenant of grace and reconciliation. And that was now fulfilled through Abram's posterity. And the Lord continued to convert. Oh, a few outside of it and were brought into that covenant. But there were mostly the people converted were from Abram's family. And congregation, then that sign of circumcision pointed forward what was necessary. Because what was signified to be renewed from death to life. To have all that was old done away with. And to walk in newness of life. And then that pointed forward, that it shall be sealed in the heart of all those that were elect. And then we read in verse 19, and God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and his seed with him. Why was that covenant now everlasting? That continued in Abram, and the land of Canaan was given to his generations. And then Christ came. And then came the fulfillment of all that was foretold in that Old Testament dispensation. And so then there is no longer in the first place that natural seed of Abram, but the spiritual seed of Abram that is in Christ. And then there is a spiritual Canaan, the Canaan that is above, that is heaven, that is awaiting for God's children. And congregation, so it is now in the New Testament, for that is also continued. What did Abram have to do? Circumcise his sons and his sons' sons, and that continued all the way until Christ. And did that then stop? Oh, then that ceremonial circumcision pointing forward to the Christ would now become baptism and look back to the Christ that had come. For in Christ, the blessings of salvation could only be realized. And what does the Lord then do? Then he shows that also in the New Testament it is an everlasting covenant. Because who then must be baptized? The infants. And that is the instruction from the Heidelberg Catechism in this evening. You can find that in Lord's Day 27. A question and answer 74. What do we read? Are infants also to be baptized? Yes. For since they as well as the adult are included in the covenant and church of God, and since the redemption from sin by the blood of Christ and the Holy Ghost, the author of faith is promised to them, no less than to the adult, they must therefore by baptism, as a sign of the covenant, be also admitted into the Christian church and be distinguished from the children of unbelievers, as was done in the old covenant or testament by circumcision, instead of which baptism is instituted in the new covenant. So the instructor now speaks about the firm foundation of infant baptism. The firm foundation of infant baptism. Three thoughts. The reason for this question. The strength of this answer. And the instruction regarding children. So the firm foundation of infant baptism, the reason for the question, the strength of the answer, and the instruction regarding children. Are infants also to be baptized? It is the last question wherein the instructor deals with baptism. And this question is brief and right to the point. Are infants also to be baptized? But of course, there was a reason for that question. Otherwise, the instructor would not have written this down. If we go back in the history of the Christian church, then ever since the time of the apostles, children were baptized. For we read time and again, when someone was converted, like Lydia or the jailer, then they were baptized, but also their house was baptized with them, and that included children and servants, just like by Abram. All those in Abram's house, they were circumcised. That was no different. And the Apostle Paul records in 1 Corinthians 1 a number of the families and houses that he has baptized. But from time to time, sects arose and the doctrines were turned aside, so to speak. And that began already quite soon after the New Testament time. And more these departures became evident. But those who maintained the truth also maintained infant baptism. The congregation, then something else happened. In the Roman Catholic Church, the notion of infant baptism was so perverted, was so evil, that at the time of the Reformation, then everything began to change. Yes. Because then there were those who also held that no children should be baptized at all anymore. They saw how Rome misused that doctrine, and so they said, then only those who truly believe, who come to the years of discretion, they can be baptized and no others. But congregation, what happened then is this. There were children who had, there were people who had been baptized as children. And when they followed those doctrines rejecting infant baptism, and they confessed their faith, then they were baptized again. Now, that is where you got the name from. Anabaptists. That is, being baptized again. And as we mentioned, it is somewhat understandable that they rejected that Roman Catholic notion of infant baptism, as if all the original sins were washed away, or whatever sins had been committed until that time. No. But then, what did the Lord give? There were those who held to the truth of the Scriptures so closely that they said, infant baptism, that is the truth. To baptize again, that is mistaken. How Rome thinks about it is also deception. And so they set forth the Reformed, the scriptural doctrine of baptism. And that is the reason why that this question was included. Are infants also to be baptized? The congregation, what were now some of those objections then that came in against infant baptism? Well, there is this argument. There is no express command in the Bible to baptize children. But then answer another question. Is there an express command in the Bible that women can come to the Lord's Supper? Do you read in the Bible an express command that the seventh day of rest now is taken on the first day of the week? A congregation, the Bible is not written as a book of rules and regulations, and we can just page through it and find something. That is really a superficial way of dealing with God's truth. The Bible has to be searched, and the Spirit has to lead us in all truth, and we have to receive it with a spiritual understanding. And then the one scripture has to explain the other scriptures. And then surely we may not divorce the Old Testament from the New Testament. And congregation, if we consider now that error, that the infants should not be baptized, then we must also say, we do not baptize all children, only those that believe, only those that belong to the Christian church. And of course, if an adult who has not been baptized comes to the faith, then he also can be baptized as an adult. That is now especially as the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 28, that the apostles said to go out and teach all nations, and then baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So then, in the case of adults, there has to be instruction, and there should be confession of faith, and then there is baptism. But that is not the case when there are infants that are born and raised under the truth. And then we have to consider, moreover, is there no command? There is not a need for a command. That is why we read Genesis 17. The Lord said clearly to Abram that he had to circumcise all his seed. And that included also for those whom he was responsible for, the men that were working, that were servants in his house. And now that same command must be kept in the New Testament, because the Old Testament is not a different covenant than the New Testament. It is one and the same covenant of grace and reconciliation. So then we need no separate command, no. And we read as much in Colossians 2, the verses 11 and 12. Because there Paul calls the circumcision the putting off of the body of sin of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And then he continues in the next verse that those people are buried with Christ by baptism, and then they rise with him in the newness of life as a fruit of that faith of the operation of God. So what is mentioned in verse 11 is by circumcision is signified that new birth. And what is mentioned in verse 12 is that holy baptism signifies that same benefit of the new birth. And there you can see that baptism has come in the place of circumcision. And congregation, then that is what you and I need. In the Old Testament, signified by circumcision. In the New Testament, by baptism. And then we must consider something else about that covenant. Because what happened now when we moved into the New Testament? Only the men children in the Old Testament were circumcised. And in the New Testament, both men and women were baptized. Think of Lydia, to mention no more. Now, then it is a widening of that administration of that covenant of grace. There are more people included in it. And you see that happening because at the beginning of the creation, it is individuals and individuals. And with Abram, we read it, then it is a family. And at the time of Moses, it became a nation, Israel. And at the time of Christ, it went over all the world. And then it was in the Christian churches, wherever they were. Now, if that is then a widening of that administration of grace, should we then expect that the children are excluded in the New Testament? That they are then left out of that administration of the covenant of grace, as if now it narrows once again? That goes contrary to everything that Scripture testifies. And congregation, that is now what we have to regard. Now, those objections, they continue, of course, because they say there is also faith necessary for baptism. And it may seem to us as if there is such a strong argument, because what do we read in Mark 16? The Lord says very clearly, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. And if we then focus on that first part, he that believeth and is baptized, then you say, mistakenly, but then you say, we first have to believe and then we shall be baptized and then we shall be saved. But that is not the point of that instruction by Christ. He says we have to be saved. That is the main point, not whether we are baptized. We have to be saved. And whether I have then faith makes out the difference. Because if I believe, that is unto salvation. And if I do not believe, that is unto damnation. And what does happen then? Is that baptism then indifferent? Is that not important? No, that is not why the Lord Jesus mentioned this. Not at all. It is his command. But baptism in itself is not saving. And neither is the point of his commandment there to give the order that we may only be baptized when we believe. No. Because what happened now to that thief on the cross? Was he baptized? He died in the New Testament after the death of Christ. And he was not baptized. And the Lord himself said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And the opposite? The opposite is also evident. Ananias and Sapphira. Simon the sorcerer. And what about Demas? They were all baptized. And they all partook of the Lord's Supper. And they all perished. So the question is this, congregation, whether I have that true faith, that faith of the operation of God in my heart. So these objections can be countered and must be countered. And congregation, these are the reasons why that our forefathers spoke about these objections. They said no to those wrong ideas. But our fathers did not stop with that. And for that we are so glad. Because then they speak, and that is the second thought, about the strength of that answer. That means, what is now the comfort in that answer? What is now the power in that answer? What is now the value of that answer? Shall we read it? Are infants to be baptized? Yes, for they, as well as the adult, are included in the church, in the covenant and church of God. So that is now exactly the positive side why that children must be baptized. And we mentioned already Genesis 17. It was Abram and all his seed. You think that has changed in the New Testament? No. It was in the Old Testament already confirmed in Isaiah 49. The Lord says, behold, I will lift up mine hand unto the Gentiles to set them up and to set up my statutes with those people. And then they shall bring their sons from far, and they shall carry their daughters upon their shoulders. So they were included in that outward administration of the covenant of grace, sons and daughters, and these are the Gentiles. So that happened in the New Testament time. What did the apostle write in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 14? He is speaking about a woman that is a believer and she has an unbelieving husband. Must they then separate? No. Must they then divorce? No. Because then that husband is sanctified by the woman. Not saved, but set apart. And the opposite is true also. That a believing husband sanctifies thereby his unbelieving wife and the children. Oh, if that were not the case, that sanctifying, that setting apart, then they were unclean. They were unholy. but now they are holy. The Lord sets apart those sons and daughters of those fathers and mothers. And the apostle does not say that they are all saved. No, but there is a setting aside congregation. And see, when we then look at the value of baptism, at the strength and the comfort of baptism, oh, then it begins to open up. For what do we hear the Apostle Peter saying on the day of Pentecost unto you? Therefore is the promise unto you and to your children, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, outwardly they are called, but savingly there are those called. And for that reason, it is not my faith that has to be the foundation of my baptism, but that the Lord has his covenant and the Lord gives a commandment. It is based on the very word of God. And then I read it, since they, those infants as well as the adult, are included in the covenant and church of God. Joel chapter 2. Oh, remember, that is that chapter that points forward, that was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. And what does the Lord then say? Gather the people and sanctify the congregation and assemble the elders and gather the children and them that suck the breasts. And now they all have to be included in that assembly, in that congregation. So then they are together congregation. And shall that not be the case with baptism? Oh, most surely. Then they are not left out. They are not omitted. What did the Lord Jesus say? Suffer the little children to come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of those little ones. You think that little children cannot be converted? The Bible tells us the very opposite. But also today, children, even little children, can be converted, congregation. But even more, and remember now, this is the value, this is the strength of that infant baptism, included as well as the adult in the covenant and in the church of God, and since redemption from sin, by the blood of Christ and the Holy Ghost, the author of faith, is promised to them no less than to the adult. Is there now a father or a mother here this evening that says, I am clean? They all have to say, we are unclean. And out of an unclean cannot come forth one that is clean. So when we bring forth children into the world, it is evident they need that redemption of all their sins by the blood and by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And is that now not clearly emphasized, pointed out, signified by that baptism? And does not the Lord now use that and seal that in the heart of all his children? And could there not be some of these children that are baptized as infants that are elect? It may even be known. And that happens seldom, of course. We do not limit the Lord. But it is mostly when those who are under that seal of election do come to conversion, it is sometime, often years after their baptism, and sometimes just before their death. But then at that moment, oh, then it baptism becomes a seal unto them to confirm that this is given unto them of God in truth. And so they must therefore by baptism as a sign of the covenant be also admitted into the Christian church and be distinguished from the children of unbelievers as was done in the old covenant or testament by circumcision. So that sign of the covenant that the Lord pointed out unto Abraham in Genesis 17 is a sign that we must not neglect. that we must not omit for our children and treat them as if they are heathens. No, then we do not show true love. If we know anything of the value of infant baptism, then you say, Lord, it is a wonder that my children may be baptized, that thou wilt set them apart, that sign of the covenant should be given unto us. And that is a daily reminder, young and old, that the Lord has dealings with us. That is a daily reminder that we may bring that sign unto the Lord and show it unto him and say, Lord, what is now signified? I miss it. But wilt thou still grant it that the matter signified will be given in my heart, and that it then becomes also a seal unto my salvation? And that was done in the New Testament by baptism, that is instituted instead of circumcision. And we shall not repeat then what was mentioned from Colossians chapter 2. But what was signified in circumcision is the same what is signified in holy baptism. And then that baptism is in the place of circumcision by the command of Christ. Because then all that was ceremonial is done away. And then the fulfillment is now signified in baptism unto the New Testament church. We said all what was ceremonial is done away. And why? On the eighth day, the men children had to be circumcised. Now we do not say necessarily on the eighth day there has to be baptism. No. But that has to be done as soon as it is feasible. Not postpone it unnecessarily, that is true. But it must also be possible for the mothers to come and attend that baptism. I think it was Reverend De Geer at one point who spoke about that he mentioned. He said before a mother could come into the temple, she had to be 40 days separate if it was a boy, and 80 days if it was a girl. And then they could come and present that child in the temple. Now, take that then as an example. Then it does not have to be that eighth day, no. But it has to be as soon as that is feasible. That also the mother, if it is right, can answer those questions that are asked of them in the form of baptism. And so in summary, the question is, are infants also to be baptized? Yes. And why? That is now because of God's command. And that is because of God's covenant. And so then the foundation, that firm foundation, does not lie in man. It does not lie in my faith. And therein I could be so mistaken. I could be so entirely wrong, and others can be wrong about that as well. Because I can be judged and thought to have faith. Well, it is not true at all. No. The firm foundation why we baptize our children is the covenant of God, is the word of God, is the command of God. And that does not alter. That is unshakable. That is the foundation outside of us that is objective. If it would be in us, and then it is subjective, and it goes up and it goes down altogether. Congregation, then we see that we must baptize indeed. Also, what Abram Kuyper taught was wrong, because he says we have to presume there is grace in that child, and upon the basis of that grace. No, that presumed grace, therefore I baptize. What a poor foundation that holds nothing, that has no value. But it is very deceiving, because then I am growing up and I am baptized because it was presumed there is grace in me. And, well, then the wonder of regeneration is not necessary anymore. And then I become a Christian and I am busy with sanctification and never have to deal with that regeneration, that wonder has to take place. And at the same time, then we have to watch that we do not consider that covenant of grace as made with everyone that is baptized. There is an outward administration, but we are not internally in that covenant of grace. For if that be the case, then all the promises are for everyone, and then the Lord has to wait until you will accept it. Ah, then it is again men doing it, and not the Lord, and Him alone. Is there then that outward administration? Can we say we must not only be under the covenant, but in the covenant? That is the Bible's teaching. The Apostle Paul teaches it in Corinthians, and he takes the children of Israel as an example, and he says they were all led out of Egypt, and they were all under the cloud, and they all went through the sea, and they all drank of that rock, and that rock was Christ. Now, they all had these outward benefits, these outward privileges, but the apostle is not finished. He says many of them perished in the wilderness because of unbelief. Now there you have a picture of the church today. If we are brought in church as an infant and are baptized, and we have the Bible in our homes, and we hear that truth declared time after time, even if we do confession of faith, it can even go as far as that we serve in an office. It can go as far as that we sit at the Lord's table. And that is between the person and the Lord. It is not for us to judge. But congregation, it can be done like the children of Israel outwardly without that inward grace. And then we shall perish in this wilderness unless that grace intervenes. But now, if we are incorporated into that covenant, to which baptism and infant baptism also points, see, then we have what is signified. And then that infant baptism shall be to the strengthening of God's people when they sit in church, or when they hear about that baptism, or when they hear it declared from the pulpit what baptism really means. And then baptism for God's children becomes profitable. Then they say so often, I have sat there and I have never listened, and it has never entered into my heart. But all that profit and that value of infant baptism in the midst of the congregation to the strengthening of God's people, and that those who miss it may yet become jealous and say, Lord, now I have been baptized, but I miss what is signified. Wilt thou then still give it in my heart? Now, how is it with you on the way to eternity with regard to your baptism? A few more words afterwards. First we sing.